You shall love your neighbor as yourself, you're doing well. But if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. Now, I said earlier that I was going to ask this question. So when you look at me, what do you see? That was my wife clearing her voice. What do you see when you look at me? Don't be bashful. What do you see when you look at me?
A man of courage. He's not afraid to speak the word of God.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate that, Caesar. What else do you see? What else do you see when you look at me?
A good listener.
A good listener? Is that what you said? Okay. Thank you. That's a compliment. Thank you. Well, you're all real good at complimenting me. I appreciate that. But, you know, what happens when we look at people that are different than me, right? I wonder what it would be like if this fellow right here was standing up before you this morning and you didn't know that he was going to come and speak to you, and he was sitting up here and I said, well, we're going to have a new speaker this morning. What would you think? What's that?
A brother.
Okay. All right. You know, because when we look at people, many times we become, what shall I say? I'll share with you what happened to me yesterday as I was attending Sunday school. And by the way, if you're not attending Sunday school, you should. It's a small group, really, and we share all kinds of things there, and Julie does a good job facilitating it for us. But I shared this in Sunday school because we were talking about how we look at people, how we see people, and particularly how we see homosexuals. that's the study that the current study that we're on in Sunday school there. And I found myself yesterday, I attended a bingo at the high school, Deb and me, it was the junior class of Montrose. And Deb and I went to support the class, and we actually have a friend who has a gal there, actually a couple. Tim Smith's daughter is a junior at Montrose. And they're raising money for the senior class and so forth. And so the class was there. A lot of the class members were there. And there was this one, I'm going to say person, that was there. And I don't know if it was a he or if it was a she. And I'm serious when I say that. I really didn't know. I think it was a she trying to be a he, I think. Or it may have been the other way around. I don't know. But I got to tell you, when I saw that, and all I did was, I didn't talk to this person, but I saw this person. And immediately, where do you think my mind went? This person's weird. You know, I don't even know how to address this person, right? And that's just looking at this person. Because you're such a loving church. And I would like to think that I'm a pretty loving guy. But when I looked at this person yesterday, I'm there. The first thing that come to mind, I didn't think about loving this person. I was confused and I just felt awkward. Didn't know what, you know. And have I ever had a problem of talking or saying something?
No.
Again, Ray, that was my wife, okay. So Ray always listens to the messages on Sunday morning. Yeah, but you know, honestly, I don't know what I would say to this person other than, you know, say hello and introduce myself. Didn't have that opportunity, but, you know, again, we're a loving church. I'm hopefully a loving pastor. But I found myself in a very weird and awkward place. And even though we are a very loving church, this applies to us, doesn't it? Yeah, because the whole word of God applies to us. And then, how do we treat people who are different than us? You know, it's very conceivable that this person that I saw yesterday in the junior class of Montrose High School could come to this church. Kathy's shaking her head. Yeah, it's very conceivable. See? And so, what would be our reaction? I would hope, if we are a loving church, as we say we are, that every single one of us would go up to this person and tell this person we're glad that they're here. Would you do that? Yeah. Well, I'm glad to hear that. And you know what? I believe you. But I wonder if every single one of us would go up to this person and say, we're glad you're here. Or a leper, yeah. Yeah. Or had HIV, right? Or whatever it might be. And so now, okay, we move to how do we treat people that disagree with us? That's a whole other question now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Ray, there's all kinds of hands going up in the congregation here. Yeah, you know, we're all going to disagree at one time or another. I think in Sunday school, Joe and I had a little different understanding of what we were talking about there. That's okay. I love Joe. And Bonnie, I love you too, not to leave you out. And I know Joe loves me. Okay, all right. But how do we treat people that disagree with us? You know, I forgot to have a prayer for us as we prepare our hearts for a new pastor that's going to be. And you know, when I first came, we went through a very difficult time here at the church. And some of you are very, very much aware. In fact, probably all of you are very, very much aware of the issues that we went through. And you know, whoever follows me is probably going to bring more changes. And the service is going to probably look different or be different or whatever it might be. And I sure hope that you don't go through another period like you did when I first came. Because you're probably going to disagree with some of whatever that person brings to the congregation as your pastor. I sure hope we don't go backwards, right? That we will get behind whoever that pastor is and support that pastor 100%, even if we disagree. See? And all of you here are here, even though you disagreed with me at times, right? And that shows that no matter what, right, I'm going to love our pastor, I'm going to support our pastor, I'm going to love our church, I'm going to support our church, even if there are times when we might disagree. Or I may not agree with everything that he does or she does, as the case might be. And we have a choice, right? That we can, get behind and support and stick together. We cannot go through another deal like what happened months ago. We can't do that. Amen?
Amen.
We cannot do that. We've got them. And why are all of you here? Are you happy to be here?
Amen.
And you know what? I am so proud of you guys and where you guys are right now. I've said that to Bruce. I said, I really like where Franklin Hill is right now. Because y'all are here. It seems to me you're all here because you want to be. And you're all here because you're even happy to be here. Wow! I'll say that backwards. Wow! Right? Yeah, that's great. That's wonderful. Hey? And so this question. Remember, we're a church of love. What are we going to do? We disagree. Well, I'm going to go somewhere else. So remember James here. Remember this question. Now, again, if we show partiality or favoritism for one, even an idea or one thing or another, you know, and we all are comfortable with various things. Music, you know, music has divided more churches and opened more churches and shut more churches down probably than any other thing. Think about it. Music? Really? Really? Yeah, really. See? Now, we might favor one form of worship over another form of, you know, I'm not going to be here a whole lot longer. Or maybe, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen, right? But, you know, are we willing to do whatever it takes to grow our church so that there's no empty pews? Are we willing to do whatever it takes? Boy, Ray, there's silence here right now, right? That's a question we need to ask ourselves. Now I'm really getting into the nitty-gritty here, or James is, because what do? When we're hurt, how do we treat people who have hurt us? How do we treat people who have hurt us? What? I sure hope so.
Of course, I run to God and ask His direction.
Mm-hmm.
Because our natural response is to strike back. Let's face it, we get deeply hurt, we want to strike back.
Yeah, like a snake, right? That you get a snake in a corner or something, right? Yeah, how do we treat people that hurt us? How many of you like to be hurt? None of us do. None of us do. But if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you pray the Lord's Prayer like we did this morning, forgive us our, what? Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive our trespassers. And thank you for bringing her, by the way. I love seeing babies in church. Thank you. Now, I've been here long enough to get to know all of you fairly well, and I have heard things from some of you that said, you know what, I will never forgive XYZ, you know, whatever it is, because they hurt me. Or I'm never going to go to that particular group or this particular function or whatever it might be because someone years ago hurt me. And so you know what? I'm not going to go. Really. We're a loving church, right? Okay. As loving Christian people here at Franklin Hill, we need to what? And forgiveness has fruits. You will see if you're truly forgiving someone. And they will see that you're truly forgiving someone.
We've got to remember what
Yep. Caesar's a wannabe pastor, so, you know, we'll... No, but... That's right. And yes, Caesar's correct, right? Father for... Yeah. Okay. And what would God want us to do? Yeah. And so that will show. And some of us even here. Now, well, before I go to the next slide, you know, some of us here may favor one person over another. You know, it's easy for me to align myself with those who hunt because I'm a hunter, right? Or those who go to auctions like Bill does, right? It's easy for Bill and I to get together and talk about auctions and machinery and equipment and Gary, right? I mean, Gary and I have this in common as well, right? And it's easy for us. But what about those, I mean, what about people that don't hunt, right? Or that aren't, do we favor one over the other? God, it says that it's sin. And God calls our sin, sin, no matter what sin it is. In fact, as I read the scripture and as you follow along in the back of your bulletin, what did it say? It said, if you fail to keep just one of the commandments, then you've broken them all. And I don't know about you, but boy, that sets a little tough with me. Because if I've broken them all, then that means I'm a murderer, an adulterer, and all kinds of other things. Okay? That's how serious sin is. And the sin of favoritism or partiality, and to people that hurt us. It's a sin not to forgive. You understand that?
Amen.
Yeah. And Jeff and I were talking, I don't know, recently, and Jeff said, I don't always listen to everything you say, which I was going to kick him for that. But anyway, he said, but I remember you saying one time that vengeance belongs to the Lord. Is that right, Jeff? Yep. And God used that, I think, to heal. Am I allowed to say this, Jeff? Okay. Yep. Jeff and his son, Keith, right, were estranged for a while. And God used that to bring... And I love Keith. But and Keith probably wouldn't have been here in this church if it wasn't for Jeff making... Hurt people because we are acting out of our own pain. Anger, fear, sadness, trauma, suffering. And when we act out of these feelings, we will do sinful things. Now, have we all had these feelings at one time or another?
Sure we do.
Yeah, we sure have. See? Now, be aware of your feelings. Now, men aren't real good at talking about their feelings. I know that. As a counselor, I wasn't going to say they're more than happy, but more open to sharing their feelings. And those of you that are married to men, you know that it's hard for us to share our feelings. I'm maybe an exception to that. But, you know, let's admit our feelings. Let's admit our pain. Let's admit our struggles, whatever they are. So that once we admit those and we say, okay, God, I don't want these feelings to stand in the way of my relationship with you or my relationship with those in our congregation and beyond the neighborhood here in Franklin Hill, right? Now, the sin of self-protection. Why am I calling the sin of self... And I don't know if all of you can read this, but what happens when we're hurt is that we want to do this, right? We want a distance. See, we want to build a wall around us. And it makes sense. Because when we're hurt, we don't want to hurt. Who wants to hurt again? Who wants to do that? So we surround ourselves with this wall that says, "You hurt me, I'm going to build a wall between us." And so, and what are these walls made of, right? Isolation, safety even, right? Or I'm going to leave, never going to, you know, enter again. Distance, separation, silence, vengeance, or I'm just going to plain ignore you, right? Now, if we do these things, now here's the commandment. Now, Jesus said that this was the greatest commandment. The greatest commandment. Even greater than the ten. That's what Jesus said. This is the greatest commandment that I give you. Love one another as I have loved you, so also you must love one another. Now, if we have this wall built around us because we were hurt, are we loving? Then we're breaking this commandment. And it's sin. It's sin. Okay? And it's something that we need to turn from. And you know, we need to take a wrecking ball. A wrecking ball. Gary has the equipment to knock stuff down, right? Right? We need to take a wrecking ball and knock this wall down. Get rid of it. Smash it. Yeah. So that we can have doors and windows around, you know. I have acreage, right? And I got posted signs. But I also have a door that says welcome. Right? You know, we can it's okay to have boundaries, but have an open door, right? And be willing to forgive, right? Windows, doors. Okay? Now, whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become guilty of it all, James says. Who is it in the congregation that you're avoiding? Who is it in the congregation, or who is it in your home, or your family that you're avoiding or staying away from? Then that's the person that you need to invite to dinner tomorrow night. Because that's what forgiveness is all about. And that's testing our love. Do you really love? Do you really love? And when I looked at this person yesterday, I had to ask myself, if I had the opportunity, would I greet this person and shake their hand and introduce and give them my name and what's your name? And I would say, you know what? I hope I see this person again, because I'm going to do that. Okay? Because that's what it means for me to love somebody that looks, I don't even know their gender. Doesn't matter. What matters is, do I love that person? And would I have that person in my home? Yeah. If he wanted to talk to me, would I have him in my home? Would I have him talk with me over at the community hall? Yeah, you better believe I would, right? What do we need to do? Let's test our love. And if there's somebody here, in closing, if there's somebody here that you're avoiding, that you're distancing yourself from, you know, we're at a crossroads here. There's going to be a new person following me. And I want you to be ready. And I want you to be united as never before. Because we cannot go back. Can't. And we need to be united as a congregation as never before. We need to be united. Is there an amen?
Amen.
Boy, I sure hope so. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that applies the word to our lives. And I thank you for the amens. And I pray that the amens would have action behind them. And that I would be the example to this congregation by my loving somebody that looks different, that I don't even know the gender. And Lord, might we test our love by loving the unlovely or loving the persons that have hurt us by forgiving them. And Lord, just challenge us this morning to take action upon what you've called us to do in James chapter 2 here. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.